In a world full of film and TV news.
This just in.
Breaking news for you now.
We've got to interrupt you here. We have some breaking news.
To another story that is breaking overnight.
Three men have joined forces to bring you
The Weekly Cut.
Hello and welcome back to the Weekly Cut podcast, your number one place for the latest news and reviews in TV and film. Apologies.
Yeah, sorry.
It's the first episode of the year. I know it's March. Connor knows it's March. So yep. Stop shouting at us. No, sincerely, we just want to say thank you, actually, because we had quite a lot of messages from people on comments, direct messages, just sort of saying, where the fuck are you?
Yeah, thanks for the chasers, I suppose. We appreciate that. Just chase us up and we'll get to it.
But all jokes aside, it was quite a nice feeling.
Yeah.
Because I'm a podcast fan, I've never sort of done that. So it just goes to show that we are connected and we have a little bit of a community and we just love hearing people's opinions. And so just thank you, really.
Yeah.
That's the soppy part out of the way.
Now, we are in new surroundings. Yes. Is this echoey?
I don't feel it right now. Mm. We've been in echoier situations.
Yeah. If it is, yeah, let us know.
I'll listen to it tonight when it's played and I'll let you know. But if it is echo, sorry, we'll sort it out next time. But just be with us. Segue then. Let's have a little chat about life. This is a TV and film podcast. We're going to get to it. We just want to explain where we've been. It's been chaotic start.
It's been
24. So start with you, Con. You're in a new house now. You've moved.
Moved house. New house. So we're plotted up in the kitchen area.
Shit hole.
Yeah, the shell. And the walls.
Lovely gaff. It's a lovely gaff.
The walls look like Epcot. But this is why I think it's echoey. But if it is, let me know. But yeah, new house.
What, because there's not a lot on the walls, do you mean?
Yeah, okay. I think in there is better.
Okay, well, it doesn't matter.
I pointed on the podcast. It doesn't work. But.
Speaking of which, we are thinking, strongly thinking about doing cameras.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be really good, especially for TikTok, which we are on now. So follow us on TikTok and Twitter to keep yourself up to date. But back to your life.
Mm.
It's not the only big thing that's happened for you, is it?
No, we've got one other big thing and a bigger thing. So one big thing, another new job.
Yes.
I swear to God, I'm not shitting my job and I'm not getting sacked.
It does feel like we always talk about, Con, you're always changing jobs. But no, it's better money and situated. And
yeah, better everything. So I've got to pay for this house.
You're the king.
And another big thing, which is a massive thing, baby Connor's on the way.
Baby Connor's on the way.
It's
just incredible. We've done it to death. Me and Connor obviously known each other a long time, so we're not going to get too soppy in the podcast, but it's fantastic. And weirdly enough, my partner, my wife, she'll kill me, I just called her my partner, is also expecting, and I think it's 2 days apart, 2 days.
Baby's got something. So we've got the Weekly Cut podcast and a mini one coming as well.
It's now a dad's podcast about TV and film. But obviously now you could probably understand why it's been a bit chaotic, as well as I had my honeymoon.
Yeah.
You also went to Florida for 2 weeks in February. Chaotic.
It's been mad.
So let's just all take a breather.
Calm down.
And now what we're going to do this week, so this is what made your Weekly Cut. We've got Henry Cavill, huge rumours, reportedly joining the MCU. We've got all the details there. Mm. A major cameo has been revealed for Deadpool 3. Zack Snyder's controversy has hit the roof this week with his Batman takes on Joe Rogan's podcast. The best and worst of last night's 96th Academy Awards Oscars. How good is Dune Part 2 and how well is it performing? And then why not talk about Jake Paul and Mike Tyson fighting as it's on Netflix?
Yeah, why not?
So let's get into it. Okay, Monsieur Henry Cavill. So, it's been going around the rumour mill for a while. Henry Cavill, strongly, widely rumoured to have joined the MCU. Quite a few characters that are linked with this rumour. But just straight over to you before we get into it. What's your thoughts?
I like it. I love Cavill.
I like it.
I do like it. And I want to see him. Do you know what? Actually, let me think about this. Because my thoughts on the MCU hasn't changed. It's a shit show.
It's a shit show. Big fans of it, but it's a shit show.
Yeah. Do I want the main man stepping into the MCU? Maybe not, but could it be good for it? Absolutely.
Well, what's a good thing then? So if it's X-Men, because that's pretty much the savior of Marvel.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say that, it might not be. It could also be handled badly, as a lot of the projects are at the minute. But X-Men could be the savior for the MCU, and I adore the thought of him being Scott Summers' Cyclops.
Yeah.
that. Imagine him with the, you know, the Cyclops visor over the top of his big chin.
Yeah, you could see it.
I could see that. Yeah. What are your thoughts about some of the others?
Yeah, one of them is on the Weekly Cut, the Twitter account, as Wolverine. Absolutely not.
Love Henry, but no.
And as well, he's about 6 foot fucking seven. And we know what we want.
We've had the tall, yeah. I mean, we need a 5 foot sort of 8, 5 foot 9 stocky person. Tom Hardy, not saying Tom Hardy, but that type, yeah.
Captain Britain, I think it's too obvious. I think it's just, that's just.
Exactly, no. What a writ.
Yeah, don't go for that.
And then the other one, is it too on the nose? So Hyperion, who's basically just Superman.
Yeah.
Would that, I can't see Kevin Feige doing that.
No, I hope he doesn't.
He's not really the sort of guy to say, wink, here's a wink, wink, nod, nod. He's not really that sort of guy. And that would be a bit of a two on the nose to go, oh, we've taken Superman and made him the Marvel's version of Superman.
Yeah, and all they'll do is compare.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, what would your flight seem like? But yeah, no, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
But yeah, I hope it's true that he's joined, but very careful on maybe who he's going to be in the MCU.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, please handle the MCU with care.
Please. Please. It smashed to the floor in a minute.
Okay, so speaking of MCU, Vinnie Jones revealed that Deadpool and Wolverine director Shawn Levy approached him to cameo in the movie as Juggernaut.
Mm.
However, he turned it down as he couldn't deal with that suit again. How upset are you about this news?
I'm gutted. I'm gutted. He can't be doing much, can he? He's fucking got a farm program on.
He's just in the Gentleman series.
Of course he is.
Quite good.
It's
very good, actually. Yeah. I'll talk a little bit more, a little bit about that in the screen segment coming up later. But yeah, I mean, I'd no one enjoyed his portrayal.
Nah.
As he was on the podcast, on the interview, in the same interview with that, he was basically slating how bad it was handled, that movie. Apparently his role was diluted and it was a shit show and the behind the scenes was awful for everyone, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, so he's no longer going to be in Deadpool 3.
That's a shame. But saying this can't deal with a suit, it's got to be a day shoot, maybe 2 day shoot.
I mean, it was, think back to it, it was like a weird prosthetic muscle suit. So yeah. I reckon that took, you know, a good, I mean, look at Stellan Skarsgård in June at the minute. I think he said that takes 8 hours to put on. So maybe you just couldn't be asked with, if he was doing a week or two max, I suppose that's 8 hours every other day. But
boo-hoo for him, I suppose.
Yeah, no money for you. But he's not in it. But does that show you that nothing's off limits?
Yeah, they're getting all the shit.
Everyone.
The weird and wonderful, they're getting back.
The weird and wonderful Deadpool 3. That does, yeah. That to me tells me that nothing's off limits. Ryan Reynolds and Shawn Levy want to go out to everyone and they want to, yeah, there's going to be a lot of cameos.
Yeah, imagine getting that call as Vinnie Jones. Really? Yeah.
Well, also, but like you said, why would you not just do it? I don't understand that. Right, moving on. Over to DC. So, have you ever listened to Joe Rogan's Experience?
I used to listen to it all the time.
Oh, yeah, you did actually.
And then it moved to, where did it move? It came off YouTube, basically, and it stopped.
Fair enough. Well, he had Mr. Zack Snyder on the podcast recently, and they were obviously talking about Batman and DC, his time at DC. And he's brought up the Batman no killing rule, and it sent the internet crazy. There were fans, you know, attacking him, fans defending him, as he sort of always sort of comes in. Yeah. We're big fans of Zack Snyder. Obviously, we're not Snyder cultists, though, and we think that was absolutely ridiculous. We also thought Rebel Moon Part 1 was an absolute
shit show. It was atrocious.
It was so bad.
That was our last episode.
It was so bad as a movie, let alone sci-fi movie. But yeah, so just want your opinion on it. Because this, I'll just read you a quote while you gather your thoughts. This is what he said on the actual podcast about Zack Snyder's choice to have Batman kill in his movies. "You're making your god irrelevant if he can't be in that situation where he kills. He has to now deal with that. If he does do that, what does that mean? What does it tell you? Does he stand up for it? Does he survive that as a god?" I don't know why he said god.
Yeah.
But what's your opinion?
I think let the man Clark. I wouldn't mind seeing Batman kill a few people.
I completely agree. And also, every single interpretation of Batman from Michael Keaton, Christian Bale, everyone has killed.
Yeah.
So I don't really know why people are so annoyed. The God comment didn't make sense. I get that. So you ain't a God, is it?
Yeah.
But with the no kill rule, I don't see why people are so against him, like killing, because he's a fucking lunatic. He dresses up as a bat.
Yeah, and runs about kicking the shit out of people.
An amazing character. We love him.
Yeah.
But he's a lunatic.
Lives in a cave. And he dresses as a bat. Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So why wouldn't he kill? He's in situations in the darkest city in fictional history.
Yeah.
And he's going to come up against the worst of the worst. Why would he not kill? But it's opened up a big can of worms. I don't understand why people are so hell. I think it's quite, I could see what he's saying there, Zack Snyder, is that Ben Affleck did sort of come to terms with killing and he has to answer for it, and he changed it at the end when he didn't kill Superman. So I quite like that. Is it actually a little bit more behind it rather than just, no, I'm a hero and I can't kill. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. When I think about him killing, I don't think of him getting a fucking sawn off shotgun and shooting in the face. If you throw him off a building, just let him fall.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Or like when he blows up a car and he's in his bat wing or something. I mean, Michael Keaton stuck a rocket down someone's pants and shoved him down a drain.
Yeah.
So let's have it right. Yeah. The one thing is quite a good thing. People say that, and it's a question I haven't really got an answer to. So if you're happy with him killing, it makes the issue, whereas why not just kill Joker then? If you're killing the foot soldiers every now and again, you might as well just kill Joker, who is literally, like, you know, murdering all sorts of people. So, yeah, it is a sticky situation. It's either maybe have him kill and just kill everyone he comes across. Or not everyone's going to be upset. Someone's going to be upset.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I like him clarting.
Yeah. Did Joe Rogan talk about mushrooms after?
But I assume so. Is what he done. But of course, he was all for killing.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Let's little segue then. So, Jake Paul, Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
What the F is going on here, Con?
I'm getting sick of all this. I am getting sick of it. So, we had the Anthony Joshua and Ngannou fight.
Yeah.
To me, that was a bit far as well, because it's boxing and MMA. They can cross over because Ngannou's a fighter, so it works, but...
But what happened is exactly what should happen.
Yeah.
AJ is a class boxer and has knocked out someone who's tried to step into a ring on his second professional fight.
Yeah.
And got clarted.
Got clarted. And what this is going to be is like the Mayweather-Logan Paul fight.
Exhibition type.
There'll be clauses, you can't knock him out. And because I look at Mayweather in a different light now.
Yeah.
All I remember is these shit exhibition matches. With Tyson, I know he... was the best there ever was, or one of. But if he's stepping in the ring with Jake Paul, you're sold out, mate.
Do you know what? It does. I weren't even thinking about that. It does ruin your legacy a bit.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know. I mean, Mike Tyson, he probably ain't going to do as many of these sort of fights to ruin his legacy. And we're not saying Mayweather has, but Conor's right. That if I think Mayweather, I do think of, you know, the Logan Paul fight and the Conor McGregor fight.
Yeah.
And he's doing another one, I think. He'd fought Deji's brother as well. KSI, Deji. Yeah, Deji. So, I think it's absolutely silly, but it's coming out on July 20, Saturday, live on Netflix. And he's 58, remember?
Yeah. He's an old boy.
He's an old boy.
And he smokes a lot of weed as well.
Don't get wrong. He's in shape. He can fucking still have it. But it's just... I don't know. I think this sounds like I'm overreacting, but it just shows how fucked up the world is that's happening.
Yeah. But again, it's the age-old story. How are they going to make money? Because it's free on Netflix.
I don't get that. Do they hope that everyone just goes, well, I might as well sign up to Netflix then and watch?
Yeah.
But surely everyone would just go, well, come around mine, I've got Netflix.
Yeah, or I've got a stream.
Yeah.
Let's just watch it on that.
There must be. No one has ever sat us down and said, we've always said this about streaming numbers.
Yep.
Someone needs to sit us down and go, okay, so you get 100 million people. So let's say you get tune in over that Saturday night to watch that fight. How does that equate to money for you?
Yeah.
Because there's no ads on Netflix, is there?
So there are now.
With a certain membership. With a certain
membership.
Right, okay.
But that can't be. Most people haven't got ads.
No, I don't get it.
No, it's going to be... I'll be interested to watch it. And I expect,
I'll watch it because I've got Netflix.
Yeah. And I expect nothing less than Mike Tyson to knock out Jake Paul.
That better happen.
Yeah.
That better happen.
You should be going to sleep.
But anyway, right, moving back on to TV and film. Last bit of the news before we get on to the Oscars, the best and worst. Giancarlo Esposito.
Mm.
What a man.
Good man.
In an interview this week for The Gentleman, actually, he said he would love to play Professor X in the MCU and Denzel Washington to be alongside him as Magneto.
Yeah.
Now, I adore both of those. Denzel Washington's probably one of the best to ever act.
Yep.
in my opinion.
I agree.
It sounds like yours as well. And I usually don't care about, you know, if I'm not that, you know, attached to Magneto, he's a great character, or it must be white. The only thing I'll say to this, I'm backing up Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
That man's character, he's a Holocaust survivor.
Yeah.
I feel like that's the weight of his backstory.
Yeah.
I don't know how you get that with Denzel Washington.
He wouldn't have even made it to the camp. He would have been dead on the spot. Let's have it right. So, and no offense to Jewish people, because it's very, very, it's terrible what happened. There was no offense at all, really. He wouldn't have made it. He would not have made it.
That laugh was too hard. So he wouldn't have made it to the camp. I don't know where he was going with it, but it got me. I completely agree. It doesn't make sense from a story point of view. I love the idea of Giancarlo Esposito as Professor X. I love the idea of Denzel Washington acting in absolutely everything.
Yeah.
But with this particular character, I don't think you can, because, like I say, the reason Michael Fassbender was so good in the role, and not so much as Ian McKellen was phenomenal as Magneto, but they didn't really lean into the Holocaust side of things with him so much.
Yeah.
But they did with Michael Fassbender in quite a few of the movies. So I just think that makes his pain, that makes his reason for why he hates humans that much and believes that mutants are the next stage in evolution, because you fuckers put me in a camp and killed my mum and dad.
Yeah. That's
so,
yeah.
Which is a...
I'll do it. That'll do it.
That'll do it, yeah. Okay, kind of popped me twice there. Quick time. Right, so that's it for the news. There was a trailer I just wanted to quickly touch. I won't do the segment or anything, but did you watch the Fallout trailer at all? The new one?
No.
I just want to say, if you recommend you go and give it a watch online, it looks great.
Yeah.
Prime Video, their production value, the writers they get in, they seem to just nail it. But anyway, could be wrong, but I think that comes out in April 11th, something like that. But yeah, go check it out, everyone. Right, the Oscars, Connor.
Mm.
Live at the Dolby Theatre last night in Los Angeles, the 96th Academy Awards. I watched it, as I usually do, got a bit of a thing with Academy Awards. It was good.
Yeah.
It was actually good. Last year, obviously, was overshadowed by the slap. But which wasn't a great Oscar, though. It wasn't a great event. That actually saved it.
Yeah.
So, but this was good. I am going to start with the worst moments, though.
Mm-hmm.
You've already seen one of them,
yep,
which you can't wait to talk about. But firstly, Jimmy Kimmel was the host, and he was overall quite good. However, he fucked up at the beginning with his opening monologue. A joke about Robert Downey Jr.'s drug past didn't land.
Yeah.
Robert Downey Jr. was clearly pissed off, and the audience didn't really take to it. And it just sort of, that was the moment where you were like, oh my God, I want to just pull out my eyeballs.
Yeah,
that
was calling me up.
Yeah. But he got through it, and he was actually quite a good host, like he usually is, in my opinion, anyway. So that was the first part. Then there was a terrible joke with Melissa McCarthy, which I know you're not a fan of.
No, I'm not a fan.
And Octavia Spence, they'd done a Chippendale joke, and it was one of, I literally wanted to just claw my face off. But the worst moment, and the moment I want to talk about before we get onto the good parts, and there's quite a few, was the man, the legend, the icon, Al Pacino, was picked to do the presentation of the Best Picture winner, the last award, the biggest award.
Yep.
He didn't even read the nominees out, and clearly looked like a man who was lost and should be back in the hospital.
Yeah.
I think if you haven't seen it, it's good if we just give you a little listen for it. We've got it here for you.
One will take the award for Best Picture. And I have to go to the envelope for that. And I will.
Jesus.
Here it comes.
Oh, my God.
And my eyes see Oppenheimer. Yes. Yes. Emma Thomas.
Jesus Christ.
Did you
what happened?
At the end, you probably heard there, he says, what happened? He's just standing up there, clueless. It was, I mean, great for Oppenheimer. We'll talk about them in a second. They stole the night and won the night, but what the fuck, Con?
What's he had a brief before he went, and they said, right, do this, then this, then this. He just rambled on. He's been to Oscars before. Yeah, he knows how it works.
He's done the job. Yeah. I don't know what happened there. Whether the moment wouldn't have caught him because he's Al Pacino. Yeah. Whether he's not well, I don't know. But that was an absolute disgrace for the pinnacle moment of the Oscars.
Yeah.
That was a shambles.
Yeah, you should have done something. Give him something early doors. Yeah. So he can go to bed.
Warm him up a little bit. Yeah. But anyway, so I just thought I'd talk about that. Right, that's the end of the worst. Let's talk about some really good things that happened.
Yeah.
Have you seen Ryan Gosling's I'm Just Ken performance?
I haven't. I've seen, I kind of was dancing to it, but it looked good.
Do you know what? When it started, I was like, this is, I want to light again. It's cringy. The moment's over, I was thinking.
Yeah.
Like, we've had Barbie, we've had Ken. Yeah, it was quite a good movement. It done very well. But, you know, that was, it come out in July last year, if we're now in March.
Yeah.
But it was good. I can't help it. It was really good. Simu Liu come out, Bensley King-Adeer, who were Ken's as well. And yeah, it was a great performance. He can sing, to be fair to him.
Yeah, he's a good boy. Wasn't it like 50 backup dancers or something?
Loads, absolutely loads. And it was fun. You even had Martin Scorsese standing up, enjoying it. So probably done something right.
Yeah, fucking hell. If he's up and enjoying it.
Although, what was he thinking?
Yeah.
None of this shit. Yeah.
What's going on here?
Cinema's ruined.
Is that the Oscars?
Then next we had John Cena.
Yes.
Presented an award naked. Yeah. I wouldn't say that was funny, but it wasn't awkward. It was quite entertaining.
He's got the body for it.
You
crack on, son.
His comedic timing was quite good because he was presenting costumes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was a bit weird. They were throwing back. I can't remember what year it was. I think it was in the 70s. There was that famous streaker that ran on the Oscar stage.
Ah.
And they, like, literally right behind the presenter. And they were just sort of paying homage to that as a joke. But yeah, it landed, I would say, the joke.
Yeah, I thought it was funny. I was watching it on the train this morning.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, oh shit, better scroll. I went back and watched it again.
We then had Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. They come out to present an award, and they were having a laugh because they're both Batman villains. And then they were talking about beating up Batman. And then they went, oh, there he is, and pointed at Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
And Michael Keaton just brilliantly stayed in character as Bruce Wayne. Don't know if you saw it. And
it's a meme for life. That is brilliant.
I've seen so many people talk about that, like when you want the hot sauce from Taco Bell, and it's like, just absolutely brilliant. It was, for someone like me that adores those Batman movies, it was great to see. Then we've got another, we'll play this for you in case you haven't seen it, because it is really, really good. Emily Blunt and Ryan Gosling, which was quite uncomfortable, but in a funny way. You'll hear it for yourself now. Yeah. They were presenting an award. They're promoting, obviously, a movie, Fall Guy, coming out later this year, as they star in it together. And obviously, one was in Barbie and one was in Oppenheimer. And they have a little riff on it, so take a listen.
Happy that we can finally put this Barbenheimer rivalry behind us.
That's right. That's right. Here's Ken and Kitty, just leaving all that fodder in the dust, exactly. Guys, right? And the way this award season's turned out wasn't that much of a rivalry, so oh. Just let it go. So
it's true, you guys are doing very well, you know? Congratulations.
Thanks.
But you know, I think I kind of figured out why they call it Barbenheimer and they didn't call it Oppen Barbie.
Why?
Well, I think you guys are at the tail end of that because you were riding Barbie's coattails all summer.
Love it, Robbie.
Thanks for Ken-splaining that to me. All right, mister, I need to paint my abs on to get nominated. You don't see Robert Downey doing that.
You're kidding.
Robert Downey did not paint his abs on.
This is insane, Emily. This has got to stop.
Fantastic.
Very good.
It's really the comedic timing of grabbing that microphone. I reckon that was probably improv. I don't know. But
yeah.
But really good. Have two very successful movies for different reasons. Barbie was the highest grossing film of the year. I think it was behind in front of Super Mario Bros. So, yeah, just brilliant.
Yeah.
I love them both. And you like Emily. I know you do.
Oh, very posh.
Fodder. Fodder in the dust. Yeah. Who says that? If you're American, we do not say fodder. But I love Emily.
Never.
Right. And then just wrapping up now on this bit, Oppenheimer com.
Yeah.
Anything changed on you? Is that just a great movie?
It is a great movie. And I watched it on the airplane.
Did you?
Home as well. Oh. It's even on a small screen like that, it's fantastic.
So...
And the score has got a hold on me.
Well, good, because he won it.
Good.
Good Ludwig. So I'll just go through and we'll just have a little chat about an Oppenheimer quickly. So it won 7 Oscar awards last night. Best Picture, Best Director. Let's stop on that for a second. Yeah. Christopher Nolan, finally, my man.
He's done it.
He's done it. Best Director with ease in this generation, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree.
Denis Villeneuve is up there for me. He's one of the best at the minute. But Christopher Nolan, nobody does it like him.
He is the ultimate storyteller. He's like Spielberg.
Yes.
The ultimate storyteller.
And we're not saying that one's better than the other, because Spielberg was the best of his time.
Yeah.
And those types of movies, like what you just said there about sort of storytelling, what he does,
yeah,
Nolan, with the movies, he's a different type of director.
Yeah.
He's in a league of his own, in just my opinion, and yours. Oh, I know, yeah, you've, I agree. Yeah, yours as well. It's just that good in the storytelling he does. But just carry on. So Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Supporting Actor, Film Editing, Cinematography, and Best Original Score from Ludwig Göransson. Who won for Black Panther as well.
Yeah. Doing well.
Outstanding. Little question and quiz for you guys listening. Mm. That's the third most successful movie now, Oppenheimer, at the Oscars for winning awards in a single evening.
Yeah.
So what do you think is second and first?
Now, I've got an idea of one, and I'm pretty sure one is Lord of the Rings.
Correct.
I'm not sure which one is it.
Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. In the 2004 Oscars. I believe it won all 11 that it was nominated for.
Yeah. And the other one, this is tough. Is it an old film or fairly recent?
Well, it's quite old. No, it's not recent. It's quite old.
Yeah. No, this is tough.
Should I give you a clue?
Yeah.
It's been re-released a few times. Quite a few times.
Godfather?
No. James Cameron, director?
Titanic.
Yeah.
Was that second?
That was second.
Yeah.
I don't know the account. I was going to shoot it was 8 or 9 or something like that. It won. So those three are the most successful movies in Oscar history. But yeah, just outstanding. I'm so happy for everyone involved in Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
It's a movie that... It took advantage without realizing it of a time when superhero movies were struggling a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it did make someone like me who's loved superhero movies and action movies and stuff like that all my life, did make me think, you know, there is more to cinema.
Yeah, this is cinema. But do you know what I like about Christopher Nolan? He's a class act. And yeah. I think yesterday in his speech, when he was thanking everyone, and he went and he commented to Emma, is it his wife?
Emma Thomas, yeah.
So he said his wife, he said life partner, I think. He said he's been there when we're making our films.
Yes.
And I thought, when he said that and he said our films, I thought, that's class.
It is classy. Yeah. I mean, it does annoy me a little bit because, like, for example, when I was warning a friend, Craig, and whenever he's won Best Picture in this Academy Awards run at the Golden Globes and SAG Awards and stuff like that, she always speaks. And I do find that quite strange that the director of Best... I know she's a producer and stuff like that, but the director of the Best Picture winner doesn't say a word in the acceptance speech.
Yeah.
And he obviously, that's an agreement that he wants her to have a big part of it. And like you say, very classy. I'd love to hear from him, though. He makes it very, very apparent. And even when Cillian Murphy is talking about the pair, he really mentions Emma. So... that tells me she is involved a lot.
She's hands-on.
Yeah.
And Cillian Murphy's speech was brilliant.
Loved it.
I love him.
I do as well. I love it because he's so uncomfortable and he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely fantastic. Well done, Oppenheimer. Absolutely deserved it for that year.
Shall I give him a clap? Shall we?
Give it a clap. Oppenheimer. Well done.
Stay classy. Congrats.
One last thing. Big shock. Lily Gladstone, Killers of the Flower Moon, didn't win and Emma Stone won.
Yeah.
That shocked a lot of people because Lily Gladstone, did she get the Golden Globe? I think she got the Golden Globe for supporting actress. Or did she? She won a couple of the awards in this run anyway.
Yeah.
And everyone, she was nailed on favourite.
That's mad because Emma Stone's last Oscar was La La Land.
Yes.
And I'm sure she wasn't favourite for that either.
Yeah, wasn't there something else?
There was a massive film.
There was another massive film. I can't think now.
Was it Moonshine or something like that?
Moonlight. Yeah, it was. Oh, if we've got that right, we're very smart.
Yeah, because like, isn't it called La La Land or called Moonlight? And it should have been one or the other,
yes,
wasn't it?
They went, no, it's Moonlight, get up here. Yeah. Yeah, of course it was.
Yeah, I'm sure she went for that. Fair play to her. I mean, she's got two.
Well done. I think she's, like, history of one of the one, two under the age of 35 or something. Like, I can't remember what it is now. But well done. Okay, moving on to what is on our screens, Colin C?
Wouldn't we remember the button?
Tell me!
My man. Loki, tell me. Okay, what is on your screen?
No, you'd think with 3 months off, I'd have a lot. I haven't got nothing.
It's been chaotic.
Yeah.
Listen to the top of our episode.
Now, I know I need to watch The Gentlemen.
Yep.
And someone's telling me about Sexy Beast. There's a series. Do you know about that?
I do know about it. I've not seen it, though.
Apparently it's good, but I'll judge for myself.
I wouldn't have thought it would be. I don't know why. It's a really random series to turn into, but
yeah.
I mean, it could be good. If it's like The Gentleman, then I'll watch it.
Yeah, well, yeah.
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 So I'm just watching that at the minute. Is that all you've got, really?
Yeah.
Fair play, mate.
Watch the Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Usher's performance was good. Split in the room.
Split in the room.
I enjoyed it.
Felt like he was knackered. but no, obviously it was good to hear. Great game as well.
Yeah.
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 Good game. So I've, coming on to June in a second for you guys, just run through a couple, The Gentleman. Really, really good. I don't think Guy Ritchie directed any of the episodes, but it's got a Guy Ritchie feel and direction about it.
Yeah.
Really good. Theo James, the lead, surprised me. Very, very funny and, you know, serious and great acting. Very, very good. Avatar, The Last Airbender Netflix series. It's been renewed for season 2 and 3 as well. It was there.
I've heard a lot of people don't like that. A bit annoyed by it.
I mean, I'm a massive Avatar fan. I did watch the M. Night Shyamalan one that came out years and years and years ago, which was fucking awful.
Yeah.
This was better than that, but that's all I'll say for it.
Fair.
That's all I've got.
Yeah.
And then just a little stop. No spoilers at all, promise you, because my man hasn't seen it yet. June Part 2.
Mm.
Had a budget of 190 mil. It's already surpassed 350 million. I think that'll go a long, long way because of word of mouth. One of the best reviewed films I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it was incredible.
Better than the first one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All you would hope for.
Yeah. It was, I mean, in terms of scale and how they uplifted it, it was exactly like, I could see why Nolan said Empire Strikes Back, because it was a good movie like New Hope was, and then they just dialed it up to, like, obviously I can't explain what happens in the third act, but
yeah.
I can assure you it's bigger than what you've probably got in your head.
Ooh.
What goes down. And it's just mind-blowing. And I said to myself coming out of that theatre, those movies don't come around that often. I'm not saying that's better than The Dark Knight. It's not.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the best sequels ever. Dark Knight is the best. But it with Avatar, you don't get a movie, and Dune, you just get a... I can't explain the immersive feeling I have sitting there.
Yeah.
I might as well be in Arrakis on Dune. I don't get that with anything else that comes out in cinemas at the minute. And Avatar, that's why I love Avatar, because of how the filmmaking that James Cameron does and what Denis Villeneuve does with Dune. I just think it's commendable.
Yeah.
And it's what cinema should be, sitting there. Just, that's all I'll say on it. It is, and just that third act.
I can't wait.
It's one of the best things I will ever see in a cinema. I was actually thinking, leading up to it, like, I think people have overhyped this. Great movie, but people have overhyped this. And then it happens. And Timothy Chalamet, the change that happens to that man mid-movie, it is. I hope he gets the plaudits he deserves for that, because it's mind-blowing, his performance.
He's a good boy, isn't
he? He's a good boy.
He's a good boy.
He's a good boy. But that's all I'll say on June Part 2. Connor's going to watch it, and we'll maybe have a little chat open up when it hits close to a billion, maybe, you never know. But we'll keep you updated on the box office run, sorry.
Yeah.
Right, box of scraps.
Box of scraps!
I've missed that sound.
Yeah, I've missed that sound. Yeah. as usual, it's bin day today, so empty the bins, so there's no scraps for me. I'm starting the year fresh. All right, next week I'll have scraps.
It's bin day. At least you've been funny today. Just a quick one. I know it's sort of old news now, but these Scotland Willy Wonka experience.
Oh my God. That has to be spoken about, because that was fucking... I don't know what I do.
If anyone's sitting there, I know everyone should know about this, but pretend you're speaking to someone that doesn't know what happened, Con.
So people were sold in Scotland, were sold the tickets, it's a Willy Wonka experience, and it was supposed to be an immersive AI.
Oh yeah, AI.
Yeah, it's supposed to be AI involved, all immersive experience, and you're in the chocolate factory. It was about £40 a ticket or £20 a ticket or something, and it sold out. Now, it was like someone went in a warehouse and said, just chuck a lollipop on there get a Willy Wonka suit from the costume shop. Let's just have a good time.
Yeah.
It was horrendous. Shabbles, yeah, I can't believe. And that picture of the Oompa Loompa standing at the meth factory lab bit.
Who's come out and done a video of how bad the situation was. Yeah, that was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. Wasn't they getting like one jelly bean each, the kids?
Yeah, I don't know what. If I was a parent, I would have walked up to the warehouse and gone, what the fuck is this? Because you can see, they've got the gates to the factory, but you can see past the gate. So you can just see the shit behind it. And you're thinking, this isn't right.
How did they? I mean, I don't think anyone's got refunds or anything of that. He's had them off.
It's got to be illegal, surely.
And he's obviously, yeah, like missold. Yeah. Is there something called like the Missold Act or mis-selling? But I mean, he's made a killing because that it didn't cost a lot to put up.
No, it took about 10 minutes to put up.
Sorry, I just had to talk about that. And then last scrap for me is Austin Butler, rumoured to be young Val Kilmer in Heat 2 alongside Adam Driver. What a sentence that is.
Nice. That is brilliant.
The TikTok went crazy. Go check it out at Weekly Cut. There's a gun range video of Austin Butler, and he is heavily rumoured to be in Heat 2, and that video come out and only fueled the rumour, because why would he be doing that?
Yeah.
Anyway, that's it for scraps.
That's it.
And that's it for the show.
I'd love you back.
It's good to be back.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. Again, thank you, as we said up top, to the people that were checking in on us and waiting for us to come back. We are going to be looking to doing cameras so we can get a little bit more personable and build out that TikTok and Twitter. But yeah, just tell your friends about us.
Yeah.
It helps. Leave a review if you can, or if not, just come back and listen.
Enjoy
the bare minimum, you lazy.
Yeah, come on. Do something. Put your headphones in, that's it.
Next week, the films are starting to roll. There is still a lot to come out this year. Maybe next week we will do a look ahead at what's to come over the summer and spring, autumn and fall, because there is a lot to come, and then we can talk about the most anticipated projects of that. But for now, thank you for listening.
And thanks for having us in your ears.